Hey guys, my name is Annie and welcome to my channel, 10 to Life, where I am bringing you full true crime cases in under 10 minutes. Full cases, start to finish, but only what you want to hear. None of the boring storylines or the empty plots, just the key facts, the most insane details, and all the unexpected stuff we know happens along the way. I'm coming to you directly from my apartment here in Brooklyn, New York, which if you're watching the video version of this on my YouTube channel, you can see beautiful New York behind me. And if you're listening to the podcast version of this, but you want to check out the video version, feel free to head over to my YouTube channel. If you guys like what you hear, please like, comment, share, review, and don't forget to subscribe by clicking that subscribe button below. If you have any case recommendations, send them my way. I would love to hear them. And don't forget to follow me on social at @_AnnieElise. So let's get into the case. All right, guys, so the case we're going to be talking about today is literally Casey Anthony 2.0, which I know you all know who she is. And this case is so eerily similar to her to where literally the only difference is actually that it takes place in Tennessee and not Florida, but it is that crazy and that similar. So let's jump in. It all started on February 19th, 2020, when the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation issued an Amber Alert on 15-month-old Evelyn Boswell. Evelyn had been reported missing the day earlier by her grandfather, Tommy Boswell. He told police that he hadn't seen her since Thanksgiving and that other family members say they hadn't seen her since December. So it's now been 2 months since anybody's seen this little girl. Why hasn't she been reported missing? Why hasn't there been an Amber Alert? What's going on? Police start trying to pinpoint when was the last day that somebody actually saw her, and one report suggested that it was December 26th, but quickly they ruled that out, and then a babysitter says she saw Evelyn either December 10th or 11th, so that's probably the real day, somewhere in there, early December. So police, of course, immediately go to Evelyn's mom, because who else would know better than her where she is? Evelyn's mom's name is Megan Boswell. She's 18 years old, and Evelyn's father's name is Ethan Perry. Now, Megan and Ethan apparently had a one-night stand or a very short, quick relationship because it was over as soon as it started, and he really has been absent and not in the picture this entire time. However, Megan now has a new boyfriend, Hunter Wood, and they've been dating since December. So they start asking Megan, where's Evelyn? When's the last time you saw her? And she says, she's with her dad, Ethan, and I was actually supposed to go meet them in a grocery store in the parking lot to do a swap and pick her up. Investigators quickly learn that that's not true and that Ethan is actually in the army, stationed away in Louisiana, and that he hasn't been with Evelyn. And here's where Megan's stories start changing countless times. 2 days after the Amber Alert is issued, February 21st, it is like February 21st is a big day. A lot happens on this day, so try to stay with me on this one. We kick it off with Megan doing an interview with the local news station, and in this interview, her behavior is super bizarre. She is over-emotional in some pieces, very disconnected in others, and giving a little bit of information, but not enough. It's just very weird. And then, towards the end of the interview, she actually says, I know who has Evelyn. And the reporter's like, what? What do you mean? Okay, so who has Evelyn? And Megan says, the babysitter has Evelyn. And she says she didn't want to contact police and she hasn't reported her missing because she was too scared that the babysitter was going to take off and disappear with her.
Well, the reason I didn't report it or anything is because I knew the person who had her and I didn't want them to run away with her.
Sounds a lot like Casey Anthony's story, and we're not believing it. She continues to say that this babysitter still has her daughter. So if she still has your daughter, then why are you issuing Amber Alerts? Why are you doing media conferences? Why don't you go get your daughter? That same day, Hunter Wood, Megan's boyfriend, does an interview with the press. And he tries to disconnect from Megan as much as possible. And he actually broke up with Megan once the Amber Alert was issued. He tells the press that he's never even met Evelyn, that he's only seen photos, and that he and Megan have been dating on and off since December, but that it wasn't very serious.
I've never seen the baby, of course, but as well as the baby has been with the father, you know, back from military leave. And that is all that I've known about the child, you know, never seen it, never seen her or anything of that matter.
And then weird, in the end of the interview, he slips and says, yeah, and Evelyn fell off the bed and broke her arm and Ethan had to take her to the hospital, or that's what Megan told me, which was really weird because Megan has never publicly said anything about Evelyn breaking her arm. So he's either lying or she's been lying or there's some sort of cover-up, but it was just very weird for him to drop that. And also on a side note, he kept trying to plug his Chicken Shack restaurant in the interview, which was just super weird and also in a really poor taste. What's really interesting though is he's been saying that they've been dating on and off since December, right? But then, when investigators were looking and doing their research, Megan had a second Facebook page where her last name was Wood, Hunter's last name. So either she's crazy obsessed and like took this relationship way too seriously for being together for only a short period of time, or it's much more serious than he was leading them to believe, and that's why he's trying to disconnect so quickly. Either way, it looks really bad. That evening, Tommy Boswell, Megan's dad and Evelyn's grandfather, does an interview. And remember, he's the one who actually first reported Evelyn as missing. And he says that when he last spoke to Megan's mom, whose name is Angela, by the way, that he told her, if I don't see Evelyn soon or if I don't hear from you guys, I'm gonna go to the police and report her missing. And Angela threatened him and said, you don't wanna do that. Trust me, you'll regret it.
And I talked to my ex-wife and I told her, I said, if Evelyn don't come home, I said, I'm gonna do something about it. And she said, you better not do that. You're gonna regret this.
That's a really weird thing to say if your granddaughter, your daughter's child, has been missing for months and now you're threatening the grandfather, your ex-husband, saying if you go to the police and report her, you're going to regret it. Wouldn't you want everybody searching for this little girl? It's so weird. That same day, I told you, February 21st was a big day. Megan's mom, Angela, and her boyfriend, William, were arrested in North Carolina on suspicion of stealing a vehicle and fleeing the state right after the Amber Alert was issued. They were charged with theft of property for the 2007 stolen BMW, but here's where things get weird because we know a case like this, there's going to be a lot of twists. That stolen BMW was actually Megan's boyfriend's family's car. And apparently, they had this previous conversation where Megan's mom was going to be buying this BMW from his family, but no money was ever exchanged, so they reported it stolen. So when Megan's mom's being questioned by police, she says, no, I absolutely didn't steal this vehicle. Hunter gave it to me, saying if I ever needed a car to take her to doctor's appointments or do whatever, to use this one. Police then say, okay, well, if this whole story is true, why did you and William flee Tennessee and go to North Carolina right after the Amber Alert was issued? She tells them it was to clear her head. Why would you want to go to an entirely different state to clear your head? Wouldn't you want to be searching for your missing granddaughter? What are you talking about? They both end up bonding out and the case just continues to get unreal. 2 days later, Megan does another interview because Megan loves her interviews. And here's where her story changes again. And she says her mom took Evelyn to a campsite in Virginia.
Old TBI, where to find her in Mendota. My mom took her to a campground and a silver camper, and if they don't go tonight, I'm going to go find her myself.
And then the reporter says, well, why didn't you call your mom and just ask her to bring Evelyn back?
My mom, like you can ask her, is a very vindictive, manipulating person, and yes, she basically like threatened me the whole time. And she was just like, oh, she's safe, like, you know, that kind of thing. And then she started threatening me, which, like I said, I'm not going to get into like everything she threatened me with, you know, because I'm just not, but...
So was her mom the babysitter that she was talking about in the earlier interview? She said something in that interview that was also very weird. She starts describing her family as gypsies. And she says, well, yeah, my dad, he's actually very proud of that, you know? He's mad about the rumors going on because it's not like we're a cult. People have been asking if there's some sort of gypsy ringleader, and there's not. I mean, it's not like we're ringleaders who are kidnapping babies or anything. It's nothing like that. What? So police go to this campground in Virginia, search it, and nothing is found. And Megan's story is proven to be just another lie. The very next day, Megan's chiming right back into the media circuit, and she messages them on Facebook and says, the police asked me to take a polygraph, but I can't because I'm pregnant. Which is such a weird thing to say, but also what's even more weird about that is the police never asked her to do a polygraph, and she wasn't pregnant. So finally, after all of these conflicting stories, Megan's arrested on February 25th, which was just not even a week after the Amber Alert was issued. She was charged with filing a false report because she had impeded the investigation with all of these conflicting stories. In a press conference, the police captain actually says she changes her story every single time we talk to her. Literally every single time. Right after the news conference ended around 1:40 p.m., investigators in North Carolina receive a tip. This tip kicks off a search for Evelyn near a pond. And remember, North Carolina is where Megan's mom and her boyfriend were arrested just 3 days earlier. So as this investigation around the pond is beginning, property records actually show that Megan's mom's boyfriend's grandma owns property by the pond. They go and interview Mary, who's William's grandma, and she says that Angela and William came to her house the day they were arrested asking for gas money and saying they needed to get out of the state.
His record from youth up, he's been devious enough to be involved in something.
What's weird is she also says that William's feet were wet. Investigators continue the search, but nothing's found. Tips continue rolling in, and February 28th, 10 days after Evelyn was first reported missing, the police get a tip to go and search a trailer park property, which happens to be owned by Tommy, Megan's father, who's also the one who reported Evelyn missing. They search the trailer park property, but nothing comes up. Finally, after a 17-day search, police receive a new tip that leads them back to Tommy's other property that's 3 miles away from the trailer park. And on March 6th, police announced that they have found the remains of 15-month-old Evelyn Boswell. They found her body in a shed that was on the property owned by Tommy Boswell. And they say that Evelyn's body was dressed in the exact same clothing as what she was said to have been wearing when she went missing. There was a news reporter on the scene that says she heard screaming and wailing coming from inside, presumably the grandfather, just aching for her. But nobody really thinks that Tommy, the grandfather, was directly involved. But then that raises a bunch of other questions, because during Megan's interview with police, she allegedly made statements implicating herself and admitting to guilt. So was that the tip that led them to his property, because she knew where her body would be? And also, is this why Angela threatened him in the very beginning of the story, because she knew the body was there? Shortly after finding Evelyn's body, a judge actually issued an order to seal the autopsy report. It's usually public record in Tennessee, but they wanted to keep the details private as they continued their investigation. So at this point, they have found Evelyn's body. They still don't know how she was killed, who killed her, what the story is, and where was Megan from the time of the issued Amber Alert until her arrest? Where was she for that almost week-long window? Who was she staying with? A woman named Christy Broom comes forward and says that her daughter, Maddie, was actually very good friends with Megan growing up, that they were completely inseparable, but that her daughter, Maddie, had unfortunately passed away in 2018 at just 17 years old, but that she continued to be in contact with Megan. And she goes on to say she always treated Megan as her own child and still felt that very close bond with her. Christy says that shortly after the Amber Alert was issued, Megan reaches out to her because she had nowhere to live. At this point, Hunter had broken up with her, she couldn't stay with either parent, so she had nowhere to go. And she says that she felt so bad for her, she said, "Come and stay with me." At that point, she also felt like she knew Megan and that she wasn't capable of hurting her own daughter. But then she says that the entire time Megan was staying with her, she didn't act interested in finding her daughter at all. She says Megan never admitted to doing anything to Evelyn and always maintained her innocence, but her behavior was very off. She says that there were 3 days where she thought she would just go downstairs and Megan would tell her what's going on and would tell her where Evelyn is and what happened, but that never happened. And that instead, Megan continuously, repeatedly expressed concern for being arrested. And this was all while the searches were happening on her father's property. So Christy says, "Megan, what are you talking about? Why do you keep saying that? Why do you think you're going to be arrested?" And she says, "I just feel like my mom would hurt Evelyn and put her on my dad's property." And Christy said Megan had no tears, no emotion, no nothing. So she says, "Megan, you just said that you think your mom could have hurt Evelyn or killed her and put her on your dad's property, and you have no emotion whatsoever to that?" And Megan's response was just, "I don't know. I just feel like I'm going to get arrested." Okay. Christy also says that the night they were searching the trailer park property that belongs to Megan's father, that Megan wet the bed. Which, that's pretty telling. You're not wetting the bed and scared to death of being arrested if you're innocent. And if you think, "Oh my God, I had nothing to do with this. It's my family, or it's a stranger, or it's the babysitter, it's whoever, or these people from Mars," whatever story she was trying to sell at that point. This is behavior of somebody who is guilty. A couple weeks later, Megan's mom, Angela, is rearrested, shocker, this time for burglary, and get this, for burglary at her own mother's house. I mean, this bitch is crazy. So now, Angela and Megan are in the exact same jail together in Tennessee. Karma. On May 20th, a grand jury indicted Megan on 11 counts of false reporting, and her bail was set at $150,000, but her dad said, "I'm not bonding her out. There's no way." Because he obviously at this point too knows she is somehow involved in whatever happened to his poor little granddaughter Evelyn. At this point, the judge still hadn't requested that Megan enter a plea, but she did ask him to lower her bail amount, which he refused to do because he said, "You're too much of a flight risk. It's sticking at $150,000. Her next court appearance is set for a month from now on July 31st. I can't wait to see what comes out of that. Police haven't yet released the search warrant affidavit, which usually outlines the discovery, what led them to the property, what the probable cause was, all of these different things. They're holding that pretty close to the vest right now, and they also haven't shed light on if there's any other suspects aside from Megan. They also haven't released the official cause of death yet. So Megan is set to go to court in just a few short weeks on July 31st. I can't wait. Let's see if her mom says something. I feel like this is the kind of family who they're all going to flip on each other at some point, so we're going to get to the bottom of it sooner or later. It's just such a tragedy and shouldn't have happened, and hopefully all of these people are held accountable. So I'll keep you updated after the next court date, which is the 31st, and we'll go from there. If you enjoyed listening to this case, please subscribe by hitting that button below. Feel free to comment, review, like, share. Would love to hear from you. And as always, please email me any case recommendations. And until next time, thanks, guys.